Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
United States of America. The radical Muslim world has declared war on America. We are at war. We are at war.
What you just heard was a small piece of my September 11th, 2001 broadcast, the day that we were attacked by the radical Islamists. And I announced to America at that time that the radical Muslim world had declared war on America. I called it our Pearl Harbor. I told America it was time for Americans to come out of their sleep, put their baseball caps on forward, and stand up like men. I then told you other things. This, again, was from September 11, 2001, and I will play that piece in part. And I'm going to ask you, has anything changed? Has the radical Islamist world not declared war on America? Have they said that we're no longer at war with America? We are sending $1 billion to Egypt at the same time Egyptians have stormed the Egyptian embassy and torn down the American flag. Your friend Obama, who many think is playing for the opposing team, Jews pay attention, especially liberal Jews or cultural Jews who don't consider themselves Jewish, pay careful attention to what I'm going to say to you. Today marks a new low in the relationship between the United States and Israel. When the United States of America, under Barack Obama, rejected Netanyahu's request to meet with him at the end of the month. Did you hear what I just said to you? Now, it's tied together to September 11, 2001, when we were attacked by the radical Islamists. And today, radical Islamists who have taken over Egypt because of Jimmy Carter, Zbigniew Brzezinski, George Soros, Barack Obama, and Hillary Clinton. That's right, they took over Egypt. Because we were told it was an Arab Spring when I smelled a rat from day one. And today they tore down the flag at the American Embassy. They tore down the flag and we said, please don't do any more harm to us. Let me send you $1 billion so you could buy U-boats from Germany to attack Israel. That's right. I didn't make that one up either. Your friend Obama, the friend of the Jews from West Palm Beach, is giving Egyptian Muslim radicals $1 billion to buy submarines to attack Israel. But you pay no attention. You'll vote D anyway. You'd vote D if the cattle cars were rolling right next to you. You'd still put a D on your ballot. Well, today, the White House said drop dead to Netanyahu. Netanyahu begged U.S. President Barack Hussein Obama to meet with him at the end of the month. Barack Hussein Obama said, I'm too busy. This is a new low in relations between Netanyahu and Obama. Now, here's what Netanyahu had to say. He launched an unprecedented verbal attack on the U.S. government over its stance on the Iranian nuclear program. Here's what Netanyahu had to say. Those in the international community refuse to put red lines before Iran don't have a moral right to place a red light before Israel. The United States of America lectured Netanyahu, the little girls from Bryn Mawr, the little girls from Brown, the little girls from Harvard, the little girls from Georgetown who've never fired a BB gun, told this man, Netanyahu, we don't think it's useful to have those conversations in public. It doesn't help the process, and it doesn't help the integrity of the diplomacy, said the little girl in the State Department. The little girl who's never had to defend herself, her home, or her country, tells Netanyahu what to do to defend the Jewish people in Israel. So we have a new low. At the same time, we have no opposition party to the juggernaut called Obama. The opposition party has disappeared, and they're in hiding. No sign of Ryan, no sign of Romney, no sign of any life or pulse in the Republican Party, no sign from Boehner. We don't know where he is, which bar he might or may not be in. No sign of one Republican saying one word today. Instead, we have this. So have things really changed since 2001? You know, you could wake up one morning and Israel could be off the map. You see, Iran has said they want to wipe Israel off the map. Iran has said they want to destroy Israel. Now, you know, to 70% of the Democrats, that's okay with them. Because just last week, they voted no to Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Just last week, the Jew haters in the audience at the DNC said no to God. And their ratings went up. That shows you where America is today after 10 years of brainwashing in the colleges and through the newspapers. The American people, frankly, probably support Obama in his rejection of Israel. By the way. But I'm not speaking to the Quislings. I'm not speaking to the Capos. I'm not speaking to the Woody Allens in the audience. I'm speaking to the others. Today is the anniversary of our own Pearl Harbor, meaning our generation's Pearl Harbor. And yet, how many schools today taught it? Katie Couric, I don't know if she covered it. I heard that NBC News broke away to cover some girl with a fat behind with very large breasts instead of a memorial to the men and women who died on 9/11. And, of course, all the soldiers who have been mutilated, maimed, and killed since 9/11. Not one peep out of the liberal media, so to speak. And so here we are today, God knows how many years later, 01 to 12, do the math, 11 years. And I said we were at war. The Muslim world had declared war on America. Obama, what did he say today? What did Obama say today? Did he say it was racist of us to remember 9/11? Did Obama give a speech saying it would be racist and insulting to the Muslim world? Did Brzezinski get up and say we should forget this and get rid of it? What did any of these Democrats say? I don't know. I haven't seen them. But what I want to do is play for you a little piece of my broadcast from September 11th, 2001. And you tell me two things. A, have things changed? And B, was I wrong? Go ahead.
Attention, America. This is your Pearl Harbor. This is your Pearl Harbor. In the World Trade Center today, a World Trade Center that no longer exists, demolished by two hijacked airliners, taken over by radical Muslims. Ladies and gentlemen, you will never forget this day as long as you live. It is time for you to come out of your sleep. It is time for you to put your hats on forward. It is time for you to throw your pornography in a bonfire. It is time for you to turn off your sports. It is time for you to turn off your entertainment. You will not have a nation unless you awaken and stand up like a man. What can be done? I want to remind you that we are at war. We do not know the exact count of fatalities at the World Trade Center. As you well know, radical Muslims hijacked these two planes. In fact, on the web right now, Senator Orrin Hatch of the Intelligence Committee is reporting, we have intelligence that two connected to Bin Laden said over private airwaves, we hit two targets. We hit two targets. Those two targets, of course, are the World Trade Center in New York City, no longer existent. I'm going to remind you that the United States went to war when Pearl Harbor was attacked, when 2,800 or 2,700 or 2,900 boys were killed by the Japanese. Ladies and gentlemen, what will it take for this country to close the borders, to reassert English as our language, to stop the flood of asylees from every garbage can in the world? This is the result of a weakened nation. Ladies and gentlemen, we are at war. What must be done? Where are Bush and Cheney? What emergency steps are you taking? Are you offended at Bush's absence? 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number on the Savage Nation. This is a day that will live in infamy, but I want to tell you this. Many of you are frightened in the false assumption that terrorism cannot be fought against. That is the wrong assumption. It is the wrong conclusion. That is what you're going to hear from the defeatists. I want to remind everyone listening to Michael Savage that Japan's kamikaze attacks ended only after Truman dropped two atomic bombs on Japan. I will repeat that. Kamikazes never act on their own. They are financed, they are trained, and they are supplied by governments. Kamikazes do not act on their own. Japan's kamikaze attacks ended only after we dropped two atomic bombs on their homeland. We must atomize their training camps. We must atomize their training camps now. And I am not the only one who knows this. Congressman Rohrbacher from Orange County, California, this morning was furious. He had been trying to warn the morons at the highest level for months now that this was coming. And they called him a right-wing maniac. They ridiculed Rohrbacher. They dismissed him as a right-wing nut.
All right, let's maybe pause right here. I don't know how much of this you can take. I realize many of you are on medication and you're interested in a baseball game today or which slut made a fool of herself in Hollywood. But the world has not gotten to be a safer place under Obama. It's a much more dangerous place. Also on today's broadcast, which in a way is a commemoration of September 11th and all of the men who have, men and women, mainly men, by the way, who have died defending us against the radical Islamic world. It's a thank you to them and their families. I don't know what else to say. We're going to talk about sort of related topics on the program today, and you can call me at 1-800-449-8255. Incidentally, guys, my telos is dead. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com website. White House declined Netanyahu request to meet with Obama. Now, you heard my broadcast just now from 9/11. Do you think I was wrong? Do you think I was too radical? Do you think I'm just another right-winger trying to stir up the masses when we should still be appeasing the radical Islamists? I mean, after all, look what has gotten us in Egypt. Look how bright your liberal president is. Look how far-seeing Jimmy Carter and Obama and Nancy Pelosi are, in that they orchestrated the overthrow of Mubarak, the bad Mubarak in Egypt, our greatest ally for 40 years in the Middle East with the largest Muslim population. Look how smart Obama is. He made peace with the Islamists, the Muslim Brotherhood, when those of us who saw reality said, don't do it. And today they tore down the U.S. flag and erected an Islamist flag over the U.S. embassy. They said Allah is the only God. So you see how smart your president is. Do you understand how clever a Quisling can be? Do you understand why you must re-elect the Quisling in the White House? You have to elect Neville Chamberlain and Quisling in the form of Obama, because Quisling and Neville Chamberlain, as you well know, were the appeasers of their time. And they were so bright, had the English listened to Neville Chamberlain, there'd be no England today. They would be speaking German in England today. Had they listened to Quisling, that nation would have disappeared. And if you listen to Obama, your nation will disappear. Maybe not physically, but it will disappear culturally. It certainly has disappeared economically under Obama, hasn't it? And yet his poll numbers have gone up. Why? Because the Democrats are very clever. Got to give them credit for being smart. They flooded America with so many illegal aliens who are on welfare. They've expanded the food stamp program so menacingly that there are so many dependent loser leeches living off the fat of the land, loser leeches living off the fat of the land and living off our taxes, who all want a raise. So you have to say Axelrod's not so stupid. If you give 50 million people food stamps, who are they going to vote for? Those who gave them the food stamps or those who want to take away the food stamps and say, buddy, go get a job? Who are they going to vote for if you're an illegal alien who snuck into the country and your daughter is 14 and she has three anchor babies? Who are you going to vote for? The man who says the anchor babies are good for America, or the man who says nothing about it because they're afraid of losing the illegal alien vote? Was I wrong or was I right on 9/11? Have things gotten safer or are they less safe? Also today, I'll tell you what we're going to talk about. Most of you don't even know this story. It's eaten me alive. I need to take a break in a second. 22 Navy SEALs were killed in one helicopter crash last year. But everyone has buried the story. I have been screaming on this show for over a year, I wanted to know who in the Defense Department, who in the State Department, or who where put those men on that slow-flying Huey helicopter. More Navy SEALs died in that one crash than ever died before in all of their raids, and it was all under Barack Hussein Obama. Now, you would think Romney the schmuck and his campaign of idiots, the Confederacy of dunces that work for him, would counter Obama's claim to be a great commander-in-chief for having killed Osama bin Laden by saying, well, you also killed 22 Navy SEALs or died under you. Why don't you tell us about that? Did you authorize that helicopter? Did Panetta do it? Who did it? We'll talk about it. I'll be back.
Savage.
Today is an historic day because it's a memorial for those who died since 9/11 defending America. And it's a day that Barack Obama has told Netanyahu to drop dead. He doesn't want to meet with him. How any Jew could ever vote for this man or any vote for a Democrat indicates to me that a Jewish prophet who once said that Jews are geniuses in law, those Jews who proudly say, you know what, I'm nothing with the religion, but I'm a cultural Jew. So they're the ones who will say, you know what, I'm still voting for a Democrat. I don't like that Romney. Why don't you like him? I don't know. He's not one of us. I'll go with the Democrat. What do you think about my 9-11 tape from September 11th? Was I right or wrong? Carl, we're so out of time, but go ahead on line 10 from WOR. Go ahead, please.
General Savage, that was prophetic. That should be played every day so people could hear that.
I don't know what to say. I don't know how prophetic it was. I know it was true. I know we're at war. We have been at war, and the wars have not gotten less in intensity. They're still attacking us. Obama escalated the war in the Middle East by bringing about the Arab winter, and now they've torn down the American flag today. News today. Newsflash, Obama, the great commander-in-chief, they tore down the American flag, and he said, we're going ahead with the $1 billion to the Islamists so they can buy U-boats so they can attack Israel. You hear this? In 20...
7.
United States of America. The radical Muslim world has declared war on America. We are at war. We are at war.
Now that's a piece of a broadcast from the Michael Savage Show on September 11, 2001. And I've replayed that opening for you because war was declared on America. The fact of the matter is here we are 11 years later and on this anniversary Netanyahu asks for an audience with King Obama, and King Obama refuses to meet the president of Israel. This is the first time in the history of the relationship between Israel and the U.S. that a sitting president has said, no, we don't want to meet with you. Do what you have to do. Go away. I can only say to you that the Republicans had the election in their hand. The economy is in shambles. The man is spending like a drunken Democrat. He's spending like Teddy Kennedy after a bender. Obama is spending like Uncle Teddy Kennedy after a bender in a South Boston bar where there's no tomorrow, no consequences. And he's still going to get reelected because Mr. Romney is like Mr. Peepers. Mr. Romney is like Mr. Quietude. Keeps turning the other cheek till there are no cheeks left to turn. So they keep slapping him. So here's what I'm going to do for you today. I'm going to give you some punchlines that Romney should use that he won't use. I tried to save the election for McCain. McCain's advisors, the very same fools and Brutuses who are misadvising Romney, are running Romney's campaign, incidentally. You don't know this. I know it. Half of them voted for Obama in 08. You don't know that. I know that. Let me repeat it. The chief campaign advisor for Romney worked for Obama in the past. Half of them voted for Obama. But you don't want to know any of that because then you'll put two and two together and figure out it's a fix, that the fix is in. And Savage was righter than you could ever believe, 888. You remember 999? Well, I'll give you 888. You know what 888 is? 8-year Dem, 8-year Repub. 8-year Dem, 8-year Repub. 8-year Dem, 8-year Repub. He's only had 3.5. And the power structure says you get another 4.5 to rip everyone off, and we'll make believe we are different. We'll oppose you from the sidelines as long as you keep throwing us the bones and letting us take what we want to take out of the Treasury. The people are schmucks. They're never going to do anything, say anything. Forget the Tea Party. You marginalized them. The union thugs scared them. The Black Caucus scared them away. There is no Tea Party. Go ahead. Do what you want. Remember this. Here's one line that the Romney should use and he won't use. When the Quisling moderators during the first presidential debate, which will occur October 3rd, gets up and says something about how great Obama was in getting Osama bin Laden. And then says, Mr. Romney, would you have done that? That's what they're going to say. You understand that. There are no conservative moderators. You only have the drug addicted. Either they're on Xanax or like drugs, Prozac, Xanax. That's what they use. The sheeple of the government media complex. And, of course, you saw the fix was in because the Republicans didn't even say, wait a minute, foul ball, give us one conservative commentator. Give us one conservative moderator, rather, for the debates. There's four debates, October 3, October 16, October 22nd, October 3, 16, and 22nd. Give us one conservative moderator once. Make it a moderate conservative. No. You got three radical leftists. You got the baggy-eyed Bolshevik. Again, they dredged them up from somewhere in the swamp. Somebody from Saturday Night Live, I guess they're going to use again. And they're all going to throw softballs at them to make Obama look good and Romney look weak. So they're going to say something like, Mr. Obama, you got Osama bin Laden in that daring SEAL raid, like he was on it. You know, they'll give him a flak jacket. Mr. Romney, question to you. Would you have authorized such an attack? See, he lost already. There's no way to answer that. Now, there is a way to answer it if he was Michael Savage. He smiles. He does a Reagan smile. And he says, very good try, but here's the answer. The answer is, how good a commander-in-chief is Obama if he put 22 Navy SEALs on a helicopter, a slow-flying helicopter, and they all died, and we lost more Navy SEALs in one crash under Obama than were ever lost in all of their raids before? The audience would go berserk. They'd have to take out the moderator and bring a new one in. They would collapse because they would have blown their chance to advance up in the complex that they work in, the government media complex. But Romney won't do that. He doesn't even know what happened. Romney doesn't even know the 22 Navy SEALs died in one helicopter crash because nobody in the media will report it. They were all put in a slow flying Chinook helicopter, slow-flying Chinook 47D, and they were sent into an Afghani hot zone. It was shot down with an RPG. That's your commander-in-chief. That's one of the girls from Bryn Mawr. That's one of the girls from Brown working for Hillary at work saying, put them all on one helicopter. We're trying to save money. They said, well, but ma'am, we need five of the most sophisticated helicopters to go into such a hot zone. Go ahead. All fly in on that. Don't bother me. All you got. Go away. I don't like them. I don't care anyway. So I'm going to give you a treat on the Savage Nation. I've written another novel to follow up Abuse of Power, you know, my Jack Hatfield series. Many of you bought my book and you loved it. I like to kill who's ever calling me. Wait, I'll take that call during the break. I'll go get it. I'll give them a piece of my mind. See, anyone who calls me during my show is disrespecting me because very few people have my cell phone. Turn on my wife yet. So as you know, I write novels, and the sequel to Abuse of Power is going to come out very shortly, actually. It's called A Time for War. And in A Time for War, I have the prologue here. It's only a few pages. You're going to get a treat now. You can only buy this book on Amazon. It's so far out. You know, then I have train tracks coming out with family stories for the holidays. I'm going to read you the prologue to the crash. You know why? Because I'm the only author in the United States of America who cares so much about the loss of the SEALs that I wrote a whole novel about it. And it's a small opening of the prologue, A Time for War, coming out from St. Martin's in the spring. And here's the opening. Tangi Valley, Afghanistan. Chief Petty Officer James Grant sat on the rattling red canvas seat among 38 of his fellow SEALs as the Chinook 47D slashed across the dusty valley. He didn't really see the men sitting across from him, wasn't aware of the white sunlight coming through the big windows, washing color from the cabin, save for the bright red, white, and blue of the flag stretched across the roof 3 feet above him. Some genetic part of him was always aware of Old Glory wherever he was. Wherever it was, however small or large, whether it was a grocer's lapel pin or high on a staff. But right now, ferrying the quick reaction team to a firefight, James Grand wasn't thinking of the present. He did what he always did when the uncertainty of the war closed in. When nothing was guaranteed but the present, this moment. He went back to his one pure and perfect time, the 13th of May, 2010. Spring was new and their life together was younger still. James Grand and Jeannie Bundy stood in her parents' backyard under a sharp blue Arizona sky, two dozen friends and relatives watching them marry. It was the last thing Chief Petty Officer Grand would do before shipping off to Naval Amphibious Base Little Creek in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Joining the SEALs was a tradition begun by his grandfather in 1963, a year after the Navy's Special Operation Force was founded. Taking a bride was part of that big holy deal, as his own father had once described it. You wed, you wore your country's uniform, and you served God by doing both. That was the proud Grand way, dating to the French and Indian War and Major Richard Grand of the Virginia Militia. An only child of an only child, Jim felt a particular pride in being the standard bearer for a generation. The shrill clipping sound of the Chinook's wings edged into his mind. CPO Grand willfully held on to the image of Jeannie in her simple white gown, like a little ray of sun, given form and breath and a loving, trusting expression. As he spoke the vows and looked into her innocent eyes, life seemed full and complete. The future given form and clarity, the world made comprehensible. He smiled at the memory. The smile lasted as long as a heartbeat. A moment later, the Chinook made a sickening drop that kicked Grand's entire body up against the padded roof of the cabin. There were shouts, but they were just words. Power! Down! Christ! His body, along with those of the other men, didn't come down until the helicopter did, smacking the barren ground like a monstrous fly swatter, the fore-and-aft rotors springing earthward and then up before settling into ugly, still-twisting shapes as the cabin collapsed beneath them. Sand billowed from the impact zone, followed by a fanning array of sparks. Then they were swallowed by a massive red-orange fireball that punched from the olive-green chopper to both sides of the valley before the wreckage had even settled. The flames rolled back, seeking something to burn, as black smoke churned upward, driven by the dying turns of the rotors. A grand tradition perished in an instant, along with 38 lives and countless futures. I'm reading to you the prologue to A Time for War, which will be published as my next novel by St. Martin's Press in the spring of next year. And you're going to see in the next paragraph who the enemy is in this case. You'll find out from my novel that things are not as clear as they seem to be. And that although Obama takes endless credit for having killed Osama bin Laden, no one seems to call him on the carpet for having made the decision as commander-in-chief for putting all of these SEALs on that single helicopter. So I'll read you the next paragraph from A Time for War. And if you love it, go buy it on Amazon. Maybe you can spread the word before it's too late. Here's the rest of that opening chapter. It's 2 pages long. I hope you're enjoying this. Sammo Yang, the man nearest the explosion, the only man in this remote section of the valley, smiled. He was behind a large rock, dead brushwood, and gnarled juniper branches piled high on either side for camouflage. The Chinese national was still crouched on the balls of his feet, ready to retreat in case the helicopter was not traveling alone. It was difficult to be sure with the deafening echo generated by the twin Chinook rotors and visibility limited by winds that whipped up swirling dust devils the size of a mango tree. These windstorms were made visible by the dead foliage and sand they swept up. The rolling heat of the explosion hit the boulder like a silent scream, blazing around him. When he felt the initial punch roll past and the man rolled, pulled a billowing sleeve over the device strapped to his forearm, he looked over the rock, did not see another helicopter. A solo flight, as most of these missions were. Tandems typically came if there were a firefight and reinforcements were required. The young man picked up the Y-56 assault rifle that had been hidden beneath the branches and slipped it over his right shoulder. Then he stepped sure-footedly along the rocky foothill, away from the blast. After 4 hours since his last break, it felt good to stand, to move. He picked his way across a field of rocks the size of fists. The short man was dressed in the shalwar kameez of the region, a loose-fitting, long-sleeve, black tunic over drawstring trousers. He wore a beard cut in the short style of Tangi Valley tribesmen, and his head was covered with a black and white checked keffiyeh. The sweltering Arab headdress was not requisite. A topi or kufi pillbox cap would have sufficed, but he did not want anyone to see his features or skin color. Though his superiors had selected a region that was rarely traveled on the ground, there were still roving Taliban and unaffiliated bandits. If seen, he would rather not attract their attention. The Taliban would execute you if you weren't groomed and dressed in accordance with Islamic law. And a keffiyeh was indicative of respect for tradition over comfort. The other would kill you if they thought you were an outsider carrying goods that could be sold on the black market. That included tribal messages about alliances with Americans, Pakistanis, Iranians, or local warlords, as well as American troop locations, temporary special forces outposts, and drone patterns. In war, information was as valuable as currency. He had none of that. What he carried was far more valuable. The young man rounded the edge of a bare 1,000-foot outcropping that stood jagged against the bright late morning sky. A rugged slope spread before him. It was 10 kilometers to the base. That was where he would meet his ride from Pakistan, an Aerospatial SA-330 Puma. He didn't have to check the GPS device tucked in an inside pocket. He knew from photographs the precise geologic location of latitude 34 degrees, 41 minutes, 25.08 seconds, longitude 68 degrees, 23 minutes, 54.96 seconds, the outside limit of the helicopter's fuel capacity. At least the trek home was downward, though he had to cross it before sunset. Satellite reconnaissance showed that the slopes, a popular route for drug runners and Taliban fighters, here's the last page of the preface, if I can find it, just got it hot off the presses, were rarely traveled during the daytime when the temperature was headed to a noontime high of 120 degrees. Even scorpions and marauders waited until dusk before stirring. He ignored the perspiration that slipped past the folds of his headdress. He hooked a finger around the fabric and pulled it from his mouth so he could breathe the hot air. He ran the finger from side to side to expose some of his cheek to the hot wind. It let body heat out, helped to keep him from overheating. He moved quickly, wanting to put as much distance between himself and the crash site as quickly as possible. It wouldn't be long before the Americans came to see what happened to their chopper and to check for any survivors among the SEALs. The young man moved across the rocks, their radiant heat rising up his pant legs. He left trails of sweat where he walked, but they evaporated quickly. He kept his eyes on the horizon, felt for footholds rather than look for them, since the shadows and perspiration blurred vision could be misleading. He had trained for this mission in secret in hostile environments so he would be ready. The first part had gone exactly as planned, but it was just the beginning of a process that would end with an enemy broken forever and, more importantly, humbled. Economies can be restored, armies repopulated, and cities rebuilt. But face a nation's honor was something not even the centuries could repair. In less than a month, there would be only one world power. That's the preface to my forthcoming novel, A Time for War, not yet available, only on Amazon. It's a sequel to Abuse of Power. I'll be right back.
Savage.
All right, welcome back to the Savage Nation. I'm sort of doing a memorial to the Americans who died on 9/11 in my own way. It's not logical. It's not sequential. It's kind of here and there, but that's the way I do things. And I just read you a preface or prologue to my forthcoming novel, A Time for War, which touches on the loss of 22 Navy SEALs in a single Chinook helicopter authorized by the Commander-in-Chief Barack Hussein Obama, which, of course, is a huge news story. Somebody could easily win every kind of prize known to journalism if they could investigate who authorized putting those SEALs on that single helicopter. They all died. Single biggest loss of SEALs in any single time. All of their raids in the past didn't result in as many losses. And there's not one word coming out of the Republicans, which worries me, because it's a natural campaign issue. So I ask myself, using logic, if Obama is commander-in-chief, crowing about killing Osama bin Laden, and the libs keep saying he's a better leader than Bush was, he got Osama bin Laden, the counter argument is, yes, that's true, give him credit for that, but Obama was also commander-in-chief when we lost 22 Navy SEALs in a single helicopter incident. Who authorized them to go on one helicopter and an old one at that? That would be the counter argument. This should be a major news story, a major campaign issue, but it is not. So I'm hoping, in having read that to you today, as small as my audience is, it's only 10 million people a week, or maybe 20, depending upon whether you're reading one poll or another or the internet, It's a small audience. It's certainly insignificant when you consider how big other audiences are. You know, but 20 million people here, 20 million people there, 10 million people here, 10 million people there. It adds up. And I wrote a novel about it coming out in the spring from St. Martin's, again, hoping to awaken the American people to ask this question, who put them on that helicopter? But thus far, I have not been successful. So when I see, logically, that the Republicans won't touch this issue of the crash, the Democrats, you know why they won't, because it makes Obama look like a bad commander-in-chief. But you think the Republicans would seize on it? So the only conclusion I can come to is that the Republicans are somehow as complicit as the decision, as complicit in the decision to put these SEALs on that single helicopter as the Democrats. Somebody is not answering this question, because this is a major incident. This is like the sinking of the Maine. If we're glorifying Navy SEALs as we are doing and should be doing, is all you hear now, SEAL this, SEAL that. Every day, SEAL this, Navy SEAL that. Best-selling book by SEAL, SEAL this, SEAL that. Why are we not hearing about the death of these Navy SEALs under Obama? It's a big story. There's a cover-up. It's a massive cover-up. Now, we'd expect that from the Tom Brokaws, the drug-addicted members of the media, those on Prozac, Xanax, Valium, and other compounds, which make them look like what they are, asleep at the switch. You expect that from the mainstream media. They're asleep. But wouldn't you expect bloggers to be asking about this? Wouldn't you expect some journalists in the blogosphere who are really good journalists, the only thing we have left, shouldn't they be hammering these questions of Panetta every time he talks? Shouldn't they harass him and say, who put those SEALs on the helicopter? Why are they not stopping and asking these questions of every general they run into, meaning at press conferences? Something's wrong with the picture. The Republicans are covering up something as well. So since art imitates life, I wrote a novel about it, A Time for War. We'll find out who's right or who's wrong when you read the book.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
United States of America. The radical Muslim world has declared war on America. We are at war. We are at war.
That was my broadcast 11 years ago today, September 11th, 2001. It was really a 11-minute monologue. I only played you a few seconds of it. Here we are 11 years later, and I'm asking you, who's winning the war? Today, Obama's friends in Egypt stormed the U.S. embassy, climbed the walls of the U.S. embassy in Cairo, ripped down U.S. flags, and replaced them with black flags with Islamic emblems. That's what you got under Barack Hussein Obama, the greatest commander-in-chief since, well, I guess Neville Chamberlain. The greatest commander-in-chief since Neville Chamberlain is sending Egypt $1 billion, even though Egypt has become an Islamist stronghold. It's astounding to me that this is going on at the same time we're supposedly celebrating the memory of the attacks on September 11, 2001. Also on this day, another historic moment, for the first time in U.S.-Israel's history together, this is the first time in history, that is in modern history, that the President of the United States rejected a meeting with the President, the Prime Minister of Israel. Today, your hero, Barack Hussein Obama, told Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu he will not meet with him during a UN conference in New York at the end of the month. Netanyahu basically pleaded with Obama to meet with him, and Obama said, take a walk, we're not interested in talking. Take a walk. This is a new low in relations between Israel and America. This is the first time that Netanyahu will visit the U.S. as prime minister without meeting the president. This is the first time in history that a president has told Israel to drop dead. And yet, what shocks me is that liberal Democrats who happen to be of the Jewish faith or tradition or ethnicity will still vote for this administration. And that is because they have such hatred for Romney. They have such hatred because of racism towards Romney. I know that's a word you don't want to hear, but you don't want to accept it. You think racism only emanates from Caucasians outward. You don't understand that racism is inherent in every race and in every religion on this planet. What you got to do is visit the world to know it. I mean, you don't have to be a genius to know that. And because of racism towards people who look like Romney, talk like Romney, walk like Romney, people who should know better because of history, because of the Holocaust, will vote for Obama anyway because they have racism towards Romney. I know you don't want to hear it. It's like blackboard scratching on a wall. You don't want to hear it. It hurts. You say, did he really say that? Did he actually scrape a sacred cow across the landscape of the media like that? Did he dare touch on a sacred cow and say the obvious? Yeah, he did. Because the time is near. We're at the end of it all. It's the end of days. It's the end of everything. We have a Fugazi in the White House that anyone who knows the real McCoy can see it. We have an absolute Fugazi in the White House. And the people don't seem to know it. Well, maybe some do. Maybe those on food stamps and those on welfare know it. Do you know that the Communist Party endorsed Obama? Do you know that the Communist Party endorsed Obama because they say he's the first African-American president, number one? And although the racist Republicans try to block him, here's what the great Obama did. This is the American Communist Party who endorsed Obama said. He passed the Affordable Health Care Act, giving coverage to 35 million uninsured and extends until age 26 coverage of stone children under their parents' plans. The first black president passed the Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act, Equal Pay for Women. These are the American communists saying this. The communists say that Obama stabilized the economy with a $1 trillion stimulus program. He gave unemployment benefits for millions of workers despite Republican threats. He appointed two unqualified women to the U.S. Supreme Court, including the first Latina woman who support the rights of working people. Well, don't get me started on the two women he appointed. I have nothing against women being appointed to the Supreme Court. I just would have appreciated if they were women of distinction rather than women who looked good because they were of a certain race or a certain sexual orientation. He created a new food safety agency to protect people from foodborne illness. He doubled the funding for Pell Grants. They say he ended the war in Iraq and moved toward ending the war in Afghanistan. Well, this is the rhetoric of the American Communist Party. Ladies and gentlemen, it's communist for Obama. Where is Romney? Where is Romney? Find Waldo. Find Waldo Romney. This should have been his opportunity to come back from the crypt. He could have come back from the crypt. Where is he? On 9/11, you would think he could wrap himself in the flag and talk about 9/11, talk about how we are a nation and how we're still a great nation, blah, whatever he has to say. I could write him a speech. Then he could say that we lost 22 Navy SEALs on a single Chinook helicopter crash under Barack Obama, and this will never happen under me because they will get the money and the resources that they need to continue to be our most elite force. But he didn't say any of that. 1-800-449-8255. It's the Savage Nation. Let's go to the callers. Not one of you heard me read from A Time for War and have anything to say? Amazing. I guess no one buys books anymore. That's okay. I don't care. You know, I didn't write them to become rich. I mean, the point is I thought maybe it would wake America up, but okay. Books are dead. Nobody reads anymore, I suppose. I'm not interested. Video games. Oh, Zuckerberg spoke today at a tech conference here in San Francisco. Beowulf, do we have a little Zuckerberg? Maybe they're interested in the Fugazi. Maybe they're interested in the other Fugazi, the Fugazi Zuckerberg, who pulled a fast one on the investment community. Let's listen to Zuckerberg today.
You know, I mean, the performance of the stock has obviously been disappointing, right? And we care about our shareholders. And the commitment that we made is that we're going to execute this mission of making the world more open and connected, and we're going to do the things that we think are going to build value over the long term.
That's Zuckerberg, who issued Facebook shares that fell 50% since they were offered. In my day, he'd be in prison. In my day, every insider would be in jail today, their assets seized going forward three generations. In my day, this never could have happened. We would have had somebody controlling them. But that's a different world. You have fugazis virtually at every level of government, every level of business that you can imagine. One fugazi after another. So where are the real diamonds in the rough? I don't know where they are. They're not there. They're not there. I don't have an answer for you. You'll have to find them on your own. They do exist. A lot of them are in the police work, the military, teachers. Some teachers are great. They're out there. I mean, you still produce quality people. They come out of somewhere. You just don't see them because the media exploits the lowest and the dumbest. The lower you are and the dumber you are, the more you appeal to the crowd from Hollywood. The drug addicts in Hollywood seem to love you. A man wrote me an email last night, and he said to me that Hollywood doesn't care about 30% of America. They don't care. So like this movie comes out that's doing very well. They're shocked, I tell you, shocked that there's an audience of dumb people who would go to that movie warning America about Obama. Yeah, well, they shouldn't be so shocked. Maybe they should get out from behind their magic mushrooms in Los Angeles and understand there's 30% of America who is really dying for a movie that tells it like it is. Dying for some people on HBO and Showtime who are not just bootlickers of Obama and the liberal way, but they're never going to serve that public. That's still the job of the internet and talk radio, and perhaps some publishers still understand there's a vast audience of readers and such out there. But here we are. I mean, what can we say about 9/11? Tell me what we could say about it that you haven't heard 1,000 times, right? So I played for you what I said back on 9/11 2001. I read for you from my novel. I told you that this is another, historic day because Obama has told Netanyahu to basically, take a walk. This is a new low in relations between Israel and America. This is the first time that the Prime Minister of Israel will visit the U.S. as PM without meeting the president. And you want to hear the shocker? Would you like to hear the shocker? 70% of Democrats are glad Obama did it because they hate Israel. They hate God. They voted last week. Remember they said no? I heard the no's. The no's was 65-70 against Israel and against God. And the only reason Villagrosa came out and said the yeas have it is because they got a call from somebody in the fundraising department who said, are you guys crazy? We can't show our true face today. We can't let the world know that we're atheists who hate Israel. No. Say the yeas passed it, Mr. Villagrosa, and he did. Because that's how the communists work. They don't care what the vote is. If they can't rig the vote, they're not interested in the vote. And they couldn't even rig his own vote inside that convention hall. So he just said the yeas have it. We're for God and we're for Israel. But they didn't mean it. The truth came out today, didn't it? That Obama has declined Netanyahu's request to meet with Obama. Because, look, let's face it. Israel's back is to the wall. Israel is going to be attacked unless they attack first. Do you have to be a genius to see what's coming? You have Hitler who has been reincarnated in the form of Ahmadinejad who's coming to New York, which just shocks me. I don't understand it. Would Hitler have been allowed to visit New York in 1940 after saying he's going to kill the Jews? I don't understand it. Would they have let Hitler into New York to give a speech? I don't think so. Well, Hitler's coming. He has a new name now. It's like sympathy for the devil. The devil keeps reappearing through generations and through time. Right now, you have a reincarnation of Hitler in the form of Ahmadinejad, who has said repeatedly, he didn't say it once by mistake. He wasn't misquoted. He said, here, ask me what I really think. And he said, here's what I really think. We're going to wipe Israel off the map and kill the Jews. And then after that, we'll go after Jews everywhere else. Every other day, another statement about the Jew is the devil, the Jew is this. I never heard anything like this since the height of the Third Reich. The height of the anti-Semitism of the Third Reich comes out of Iranians' mouth. Not only Ahmadinejad, but his wonderful spiritual leaders say the same thing. He's coming to New York to give a speech next week. I can guarantee you as I stand there, Obama will shake his hand. But he won't touch the hand of Netanyahu. Which leads me to the question, how is it that so many liberal Jews will continue to vote D? There's only one answer. They're racists. They would rather vote for a man like Obama who has stabbed Israel in the back than ever vote for a, quote, goy. Did you hear it clearly? Write it down because I'll repeat it when I come back from this break.
Savage.
So we have an open feud between Netanyahu and the arrogant president. Netanyahu's back is to a wall. And as you well know, Obama could care less what happens to Israel. And at the same time, Egypt is burning. They trashed our embassy, took down the American flag, put up an Islamist flag. At the same time, U.S. consulate in Libya set on fire and an American killed. In the past, of course, that would have been considered an act of war. But under Obama, that's considered business as usual. His foreign policy is one of appeasement and of catastrophe. That passes for diplomacy under Hillary Clinton, who is nowhere to be seen or heard. So what would you like to talk about? And things are pretty bad right now, by the way. I mean, here we are 11 years after 9/11, and we're in worse shape than we were then. Security-wise, you feel better? Who's under the gun? Tell me, who's being watched in America today? Tell me who's being watched by the Department of Homeland Security, which was set up specifically to prevent another 9/11. Who do you think they're watching? Islamists in a mosque or returning war veterans? Who is Janet Napolitano focused on? Islamists in a mosque or anti-abortion protesters? Tell me who Janet Napolitano is spending her resources on. Islamists in a mosque in America or fill in the blank? Any American who seems to be somewhat at odds with this octopus called the federal government. So you see, we're in worse shape than we were on 9/11. Today, the enemy is us. Then we knew who the enemy was. They told us they're at war with us. Now the enemy is us. Anyone who's a nationalist, anyone who's a patriot, anyone who's a traditionalist is suspect under this administration. So tell me, we're better off than we were then? I don't believe it. Not at all. If you'd like to talk today, I'm going to let you talk. 1-800-449-8255. There's something else that Obama did. Do you remember our most advanced drone was sent to Iran by somebody in the U.S. Air Force and delivered to Iran without a scratch on it? It was like sending him a new car where the seat covers still had the new car smell. Who in the U.S. Air Force delivered that drone to Iran? No investigation from the Xanax Republicans. Tell me who sent that drone to Iran. Tell me who put the 22 Navy SEALs on a single Chinook helicopter. And if you could tell me that answer, I'd be thrilled because no one's even asked the question. I'm asking for questions for which there's not even a question. Nobody in the media has said who in the U.S. Air Force sent Iran that drone under the greatest commander-in-chief since Eisenhower. Who delivered the drone to them? It was our most advanced drone. It was sent to Iran, landed softly. They have it. They've reversed engineered the drone. Who sent it to them? Who in the Defense Department did that? Who in the U.S. Air Force did that? Who in the Obama administration did that? Who delivered it to them? How would I know? There's been no investigation from the Xanax Republicans. There's been no inquisition by the inquiry, rather. I would like an inquisition, but I'll take an inquiry. There's not even been an inquiry from the Xanax journalism corps that we have. The Prozac journalism corps, not one question about the drone, not one question about the dead SEALs. Nothing. All of this is Paul Ryan's math. So we don't know what's coming between now and the election. This could be a game, by the way, between Obama and Netanyahu. I mean, you know, maybe they're putting on an act like they're distancing themselves from Israel when in fact Israel's about to strike Iran. I don't know. That's a possibility. Could be a charade. It could be to put Ahmadinejad to sleep and the mullahs put back where they belong in the 4th century. I don't know. It could be a charade. And any day we're going to wake up and something catastrophic is about to happen. We can all feel it in our bones. We're on the verge of something cataclysmic.
Savage.
So Netanyahu is begging to meet the king of America, and the king of America said, Haman says no. Haman says no, we're not interested in you. Go eat prune pudding. And it's a big deal. Israel says, the world says to Israel, wait, there's still time. Netanyahu said to the AP, and I say, wait for what? Wait until when? Those in the international community who refuse to put red lines before Iran don't have a moral right to place a red light before Israel. See, that's logical, but logic doesn't matter. Let me remind you of something from history. When the United States knew that Hitler was trying to develop an atomic bomb and he needed heavy water to develop that nuclear weapon, did the United States wait and ask for a mandate to go into Norway and destroy the heavy water plant in Norway? No, they did it. Of course, I think it was all Norwegians who did it, incidentally. One of the greatest feats. Superman, a Superman feat. That story is one of the most amazing feats in the annals of war. The point is, the U.S. Was involved, and probably with intelligence, but it was the Norwegians who skied in across half the country to get to that plant and destroyed it. So they destroyed a plant where Hitler was trying to develop heavy water to make a nuclear weapon. So what's Israel waiting for? They would just as soon call up the head of NBC, whatever his name is, ABC, and say, let me ask you something. Can we have the fall TV schedule? We're trying to plan an attack on Iran. But we don't want to interfere with your football. We don't want to interfere with any of your television ratings because you know how important you are to the president. Can you please give us your fall lineup with the exact times your shows appear so we can plan our attack on Iran accordingly for the October surprise? That would be more in keeping with the world that we live in today. See, Netanyahu's asking the wrong person for permission. He shouldn't be asking King Obama. He should be asking the head of NBC or whichever network it is that runs the NFL. Because I can guarantee you that if Netanyahu attacked Iran, if it was on a night with football, the ratings would be in the toilet. For the attack, the people would be screaming. They'd be calling Comcast and every other cable provider. How dare you interrupt my football or my slut show or my reality show of another mental midget with a strike on Iran? We don't care about it. All we want to do is see those midgets fornicating. That's what we want. This is America. That's my freedom. I want my food stamps and I want my pornography. I want my food stamps and I want Harvey Weinstein's violence. I want my food stamps and I want the filth that comes out of the sewer pipe of Hollywood from Katzenberg, Katzenberg, Matzenberg, and Ratzenberg. I don't care about Israel. I don't care about Iran. I want my food stamps and I want my filth. I want the three Fs. Food stamps, filth. Well, you can pick it out yourself. I'm not in the mood to do another one. I'm not Jesse Jackson after all. This is the Savage Nation. Let's go to the callers. Todd in Wisconsin, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. I think that God is aligning the pieces for Israel to attack Iran before the November elections, and that part of the president today saying that he's not going to meet with Israel, that is just another piece that has been put in place. And to set this up a little bit, there's a prophecy in the book of Daniel that says that Israel is going to sign a covenant with many. And so that means that Israel is actually not going to sign a peace treaty with the Palestinians like most people think. Also in the book of Daniel, it talks about how there's going to be another Roman-type empire, and that's going to be comprised of 10 nations that will be within the old Roman boundaries. And so with this covenant that Israel is going to sign with...
You're losing me. So what? It's hard to follow you in a way. I know that many of you are biblical absolutists, which is fine. But what do you say is going to happen?
What I'm saying is God is right now moving the pieces for this covenant to be signed with these 10 nations from the old Roman Empire. And part of that
Please. You know, sometimes literal interpretations of ancient tracts have their limitations. I'm not a Nostradamus fan, and I'm not a biblical absolutist, okay? What do you mean 10 nations from the Roman Empire? What's going to happen for the listener listening to this national show, in your opinion, based on the Bible, since Israel is somewhat a biblical entity in that regard, although not everyone is religious, obviously, nor even good, what do you think is going to happen from a news point of view? What's the headline?
Well, the headline is that the quartet nations have been distancing themselves from Israel. As the U.S., they have now said that they don't want to meet with Netanyahu. Also, Russia and China are distancing themselves from Israel by supporting Syria, and also the U.N. by nations.
I know.
Like
so, so what is Israel going to do now? Excuse me. So now that Daniel is surrounded, what's Daniel going
to
do?
To go in alone and strike Iran before the November elections.
So you think Daniel's in the lion's den and he's going to strike?
Yes.
Okay, thanks for the call. Yeah, I believe that Obama wants Israel to strike before the election. I believe it's the October surprise, and I think they're playing a shuck and jive on us. I think Netanyahu and Obama, it's just as like, look, I'm a novelist. Don't take me seriously. The important people to believe are people like Tom Brokaw. Even though he had an incident of switching his pills and not knowing whether it was morning or night, and which medication to take to wake up and go to sleep, he's a reliable source. He knows how to make a Windsor knot. He looks very good. He knows how to put on pancake makeup. He shines at the conventions. That's the man. Don't take me seriously. Take him seriously. Take him seriously, please. I've told you there'd be an October surprise for about 6 months now. Because, I see, I'm only a novelist. I'm not a serious journalist. Serious journalists, they know the real truth. Now, a serious journalist wouldn't have an answer to this question because they don't know whether it's day or night or what medication they should be on. But they do know how to match colors and how to make a Windsor knot. That's what's important. But I'm only a novelist. And as a novelist, I'm telling you, I saw the October surprise coming for a while. In other words, do I know? How do I know? I live alone with a dog, basically. Teddy has no inside information. He's only an 11-pound poodle. If you wave a hamburger in front of him, he'll eat it. He doesn't know anything about Obama. I'm sure he'd like Mr. Obama. I'm sure he would like Obama's dog, Bo. I'm sure he'd even like Romney's dog. But as far as giving me inside information as to whether or not they're actually pulling a charade on the people, how would Teddy know that? So since I have no, no oracle to rub my hand over, I have only common sense, logic, and a little history, a knowledge of history, and a lot of imagination. My estimation is it's a charade. That they're pretending they're mad. Oh, you kidding? I'm not going to talk to... he's telling me, I want nothing to do with it. Don't come near me. Are you kidding? I'm mad at Israel. This way, when Israel does do it, everyone knows they have to do. Obama could say, I had nothing to do with him. He's a renegade. He did it without us. Although we had the bombers 20,000 feet above him and we gave him the bombs. And although we planned it and gave him the U-2s and the 9-8s and the 53,000 bomb, we had nothing to do with it. We were busy. We were in Chicago. We had a teacher strike. He asked Rahm Emanuel, even though he's Israeli, he was against Israel. He has nothing to do with Israel. He can't stand Israel, even though his family's in Israel and came from Israel and his father was in the Irgun. He's not for Israel. He's definitely for the people of the streets and the teachers. And he had nothing to do with it. None of us in the Democrat Party like Israel. We hate God, even though we say we're for God and for Israel. We have no idea why Israel did it. Although we're not on the side of Iran, we certainly can't stand Israel. The fact of the matter is, thank God they wiped Iran off the... We have no idea when they did this, why they did it, how they did it, with whose bombs they did it. So it could be a charade. I don't know, because things happen. We don't know what happens at the highest level. You need intelligent people like girls who went to a Brown University who are now geniuses in the Defense Department to figure these things out. The kind of girls who put 22 Navy SEALs on an old helicopter and fly them into a combat zone, and then they all die and they walk away from it. The girls from Brown, and they get a raise, and they work for Valerie Jarrett the next day for doing such a good job from wiping out an elite. Look, let's face it. The SEALs were a threat to the government when you think about it. Who were the SEALs a bigger threat to? The Taliban or the U.S. government itself? I mean, if the S hits the fan, who do you think the government would be afraid of? The Taliban who aren't in America or the SEALs who are in America? So therefore, you got to weak them a little bit. Not wipe them all out. Put 22 in a helicopter, have it blow up. That way you diminish the core, you kill its... You know what I'm saying? This is how you do it. This is what they taught them in the college about white privilege. When you study white privilege, you know what I'm talking about. Because most of the SEALs are white, therefore they're racist. I mean, it's A and B. This is what you learn in colleges today. If you have a bunch of men willing to die for their country and they're all white, ipso facto, they're racist. Isn't that how it works? Did you read about the wackadoodle teacher in Portland? She's a principal who said it's giving a peanut butter and jelly sandwich is racist. She's a product of the American school system. I found this. I couldn't believe what I was reading. I said, somebody has to be making this up. They can't be telling. They can't be making this up. A teacher, a principal in a Portland school, district, I don't know where it is, has said that recommending students eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich is a sign of whiteness and racism. And she's taken a course from an American communist in Oakland, California on this subject. So she's an expert on whiteness. And she says it's an insult to Hispanic students who don't eat peanut butter and jelly, and an insult to people from Somalia who don't eat peanut butter and jelly. And so therefore, if you tell students to eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich in her school, you are ipso facto a stone-hearted white racist. She knows it. She doesn't even question it. She knows it. She's a product of the school system. She is an absolute product of the school system itself. You think I'm inventing it, right? Because I can only be making that up. Michael made that up about the peanut butter and jelly sandwich, right? No. It's an actual news story. I don't know where it is. On my website, Beowulf, is that the peanut butter racist? Where? Does anyone know where the peanut butter story is? Peanut butter sandwich racist in Portland. Portland Tribune. Art Moore found the story. I could not believe it. Schools beat the drum for equity. And here's the principal's name. Vernice Gutierrez. Vernice Gutierrez picks up on the subtle language of racism every day. Take the peanut butter sandwich. A seemingly innocent example a teacher used in a lesson last year. She said, what about Somali or Hispanic students who might not eat sandwiches? Says Gutierrez, principal at Harvey Scott K-8 school. Another way would be to say Americans eat peanut butter and jelly. Do you have anything like that? Or maybe they eat torta or pita. Ms. Gutierrez, along with all of Portland Public Schools principals, will start the new school year off this week by drilling in on the language of, quote, courageous conversations, the district-wide equity training being implemented in every building and phases during the past few years. In other words, they're brainwashing teachers. And it gets even better. Are you ready for this? There's a new push to eliminate white privilege. They're giving a drum class offered to middle school boys only of color at the school. 50% of the students at Scott are Hispanic. Another 15% are black. And 9% are Asian. 85 are eligible for free or reduced price meals. But the boys' drum classes only go to people of boys of color. At least one parent has a problem with the class, saying it amounts to blatant discrimination and equity of women, Asians, whites, and Native Americans. The drum club was approved by the administration, and any girls who complained were brushed off and it was not addressed, the parent wrote. But Ms. Gutierrez denies that any students were turned away from the drum corps and vehemently rejects any suggestion that it is discrimination to offer a club catering only to minority boys. Ms. Gutierrez had this to say. When white people do it, it is not a problem. But if it's for kids of color, then it's a problem, said Gutierrez, an El Paso, Texas native whose parents were Mexican immigrants. Break it down for me. That's your white privilege and your whiteness, said Gutierrez. Like many, if not all, of the leaders, Gutierrez has gone through California-based consultant Glenn Singleton's Coaching for Educational Equity, a week-long seminar on race and how it affects life. She's also become an affiliate, certified to teach the equity curriculum, and on and on. You can read the article yourself. In other words, something you would have seen in Pol Pot's Cambodia, short of the mountain of human skulls, is now occurring in human schools, in American schools, all a result of affirmative action, appointees who in my day, well, let's put it this way, they wouldn't have been principals, and I'm being polite. In my day, Ms. Gutierrez would not have been a principal. If this were not a national radio show, I would tell you what she actually would have been in my day. Let's put it to you this way. You can read it yourself. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So it's a pretty big day, September 11th, 2012, 11 years after September 11th, 2001, and we come not full circle, not quite, but we have a Fugazi in the White House on every level, a fake commander-in-chief who, although he gets credit for killing Osama bin Laden, and rightly so, he was the commander-in-chief at the time, so he should get the credit. No one asks the question, how about the 22 Navy SEALs who were killed under your command in that single Chinook helicopter? Why are you not talking about that? I don't understand where the media is on this one. That's number one. Number two, today for the first time in history, he declines meeting with the Prime Minister of Israel. He says to Netanyahu, drop dead, we don't want to talk to you. open feud between USA and Israel. They're still not going to vote for Romney. Where is Romney? What's he doing? I heard he's rehearsing for the debates. He's rehearsing. I could do some skit on that if I had the time to develop it, where I would play the guy telling Romney what to say when he gets slapped around by Obama. Oh, it's going to be embarrassing. I don't know that I'm going to watch it. I don't think I have the guts to watch the debate on October 3rd, October 16th, October 22nd. When you have the baggy-eyed Bolshevik again, who I haven't seen since the last presidential debates, where they get this baggy-eyed Bolshevik from NPR, I don't know. Where is he all these years? It's like they put him on ice somewhere, Jim Lehrer. They give him an eye job. They put him away for 4 years, and they bring him out again to ask setup questions. And there's not one even moderate, middle-of-the-road moderator. The Republicans threw it so many different ways, you don't have to be a genius to see it. It's the Arnold Rothstein of presidential elections. It's the 1919 World Series. They threw it a long time ago. The same campaign advisors, for God's sakes, who ran McCain off the road. McCain was ahead 8 points going into the debates. And McCain refused to say anything about Obama's Muslim sentiments or his, let us say, lack of credentials for the White House since he was an unknown senator. No one ever heard of him. McCain was way ahead, and he threw it. Remember the woman asked him? He said, oh, no, he's a nice man. We just differ on economic issues. That was it. Goodbye, McCain. Hello, Tibet. Hello, Siberia. Hello, Cindy and John in the Buick dealership in Tibet. Let's go to Siberia, Cindy. I'm not going there. I know there are valleys of the dolls everywhere, but that's too high up for me. So there they are in Arizona. They threw the elections. Happening again. Now again, the Republicans set up another fall guy, Romney. Why? Where is he today? Today was his day to shine. Great day. Come out in support of Israel. Come out in support of Netanyahu. Attack the president for so many different things. Not one word. He's rehearsing. He's rehearsing. Getting ready for the debate. All right, Mitt, stop, hold it. Let's try that again, Mitt. Come on back out. Take a water. Hydrate yourself. Take a deep breath now. All right, Mitt, you ready? Here we go. Now, Obama's going to say this to you. Now, Mitt, your answer was a little meek, okay? Don't say, why are you saying that to me? Mitt, whatever you do, don't whine. Whatever you do, Mitt, don't whine. Don't look weak, okay? When he slaps you around this time, I want you to fight back. Okay, Mitt, are you ready? Here we go again. Here's the question. Here's the president. I'll be the president. I'll be the moderator. So, Mr. President, when you killed Osama bin Laden in that heroic raid, which put you in the leagues of the greatest of American heroes, America cheered you. Mr. Romney, would you have approved such a raid? Now, Mitt, I'm getting mixed up in the characters. So, Mitt, here's your answer here. Your answer here is not to answer the question, Mitt. You got to go paralogical on him, Mitt. What you got to say is, well, that was a very, very good thing that you did, Mr. President. But explain why you put 22 Navy SEALs on that single helicopter, that Chinook, and they all died that day. Did you call that yourself, Mr. Obama? See, now that would bring the House down. That would change the whole course of the election and the course of history. But you know what I know. He's not going to do it. It's not in his DNA. It's not in his DNA. I don't know what happens after a certain period of time. I think you need to be an oppressed minority or a child of an immigrant like me, or I don't know what it is to have drive anymore. I don't know what it is. I mean, don't think the Mormons are patsies. If you know anything about the Mountain Meadows Massacre, you know that there's some pretty hot blood down there, up there rather. I mean, read about the Mountain Meadows Massacre. The attacks on September 11th, by the way. Hello, 1857. Oh, I thought I'd save that for the end of the hour. September 11th, not 2001, but 1857, when an emigrant party was slaughtered by a Utah territorial militia. Every man, woman, and child. Yeah, it happened. So there is some hot blood in the tradition. Where is it? I don't know.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Oh. America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Listen to the audio that we collected for you today on the Savage Nation. Here is the broadcast I did way back when we were attacked on September 11th, 2011. It's stunning. Tell me if I was wrong.
America is at war. We have not yet been told with whom. However, our great leaders, after a busy day of flying from here to there and taking naps and having meetings, will eventually tell us who we might be at war with. I want to remind those of you who are frightened that, yes, there is reason to be frightened. But no, it is not a time to crawl under a bed. It is a time to realize that either we stand up as a nation or we disappear as a people. We stand up and we say that we can fight terrorism. Kamikazes do not act on their own. Terrorists do not act on their own. They are given their bombs, they are trained and given their missions, and they are financed by governments and by rogue states. Remember in World War II, our boys faced men willing to die for their country of Japan, Japanese airmen who flew their planes into our ships. After we dropped two atomic bombs on their homeland and their military's might was broken, and their political might was broken, and the will of the people was broken, there were no longer any kamikaze attacks coming from Japan. We need to launch the missiles immediately. If we do not act within the next 6 to 12 hours, they will laugh at us. They will do it again. This is a direct result of weakness. The radical Muslim world has declared war on your way of life. We are at war. What must be done? Where are Bush and Cheney? Are you offended at Bush's absence? What must be done? You know what sickened me today? I'll tell you the truth. When I saw the Congress giving a speech, one congressman after another, Schumer, I saw Senator Hillary Clinton giving a speech, and George Bush was nowhere to be found. Dick Cheney was nowhere to be found. I couldn't believe what I was watching. I couldn't believe that we had no leadership. What would you do if you were in charge? What must be done right now in the United States of America other than closing the borders and ending all asylum in the United States of America? We must kick out everyone in this country who's here on an asylum racket. Everyone here with a false asylum racket should be thrown out of the country immediately. We've gone to sleep. We're like a gigantic nation of somnambulists. Maybe this is our wake-up call. God willing, this terrible tragedy could wind up saving America. This is a new world. This is exactly what we feared. I believe we are paying the price of Bill Clinton's capitulations, Bill Clinton's constant coddling of terrorists, Bill Clinton's hugging and kissing of Arafat, Bill Clinton's destruction of the military, Bill Clinton's constant political correcting of America to the point where we're virtually a pitiful, helpless giant.
Now, you want a shocker? Romney says he's not getting rid of all health care reform. Oh, boy.
I say we're going to replace Obamacare, and I'm replacing it with my own plan. And, you know, even in Massachusetts, where I was governor, our plan there deals with pre-existing conditions and with young people.
So you keep that as part of the federal plan?
Oh, I'm not getting rid of all of health care reform. Of course, there are a number of things that I like in health care reform that I'm going to put in place.
Here's Harry Reid rambling on, not making any sense.
So I'd like to just take a minute and apply the Ryan math to my marathon times. I'll just pick one marathon time. I ran the Boston Marathon. And using the Ryan math, my time would not have been a world's record, but within minutes of a world record. I could have made the Olympic team. Using Ryan math, I would have been superb. Well, the Ryan math doesn't work in marathons because, you know what, Mr. President, you can always check someone's math. And his math doesn't work for running a marathon or anything else.
And here is Nancy Pelosi making excuses for Obama not deporting criminal illegal aliens.
I didn't like the deportations. I thought that those who were implementing the law should have followed the law more closely in terms of is this about somebody who has broken the law apart from their papers expiring. Federal officials at the local level were using a different standard as to the interpretation of what the law was about deportations. And some of them were more, risk-averse than others. They believed that they had fewer, that it wasn't happening and that they had fewer deportations. We know family by family what was happening. I'm very close to the communities in California. And we knew just family by family what was happening, and I believe that the evidence that we produced had a change in policy, starting with the executive action on the DREAM Act.
The news today is stunning. On the anniversary of 9/11, 2001, Obama has ditched Israel. Just today, Obama rejected Netanyahu's request to meet. This marks a new low in relations between the United States and Israel. I guess Obama has decided the Jews don't count. Or will they vote for him anyway? Obama's friends in Egypt, the Islamists, have scaled the U.S. embassy wall in Cairo, replacing the American flag with a black Islamic flag. No comments from Obama. Flashback 9/11 as it happened. This is all on MichaelSavage.com. Here's a big question. Remember all those 22 Navy SEALs that were killed in one helicopter crash? Oh, you don't remember it because it's all been covered up. Who in the Obama administration put those Navy SEALs on the ill-fated helicopter? Nobody will answer the question. Obama is skipping more than half of intelligence meeting. Obama is aiding Egypt while Egypt tries to buy U-boats to destroy Israel. Obama's deputies are giving Egypt $1 billion, including money to buy U-boats from Germany. Wow. Well, over here, is Corzine going to jail? Over here, according to the Portland Tribune, peanut butter sandwich is now called racist in Portland. It's under equity training in Portland, Oregon. Peanut butter is racist. Democrat withdraws from race for allegedly voting in two states. I guess she didn't vote in enough states. 79% of Chicago eighth graders are not proficient in reading. Really? I would suppose 90% of the teachers teaching eighth grade are not proficient in reading and writing. America put a man on the moon and then Obama gutted NASA. Have you been to MichaelSavage.com today? It's your daily dose. Family wants action after officer guns down family pet. He just kept shooting him in the head. A little lab. Have you bought Train Tracks yet from HarperCollins? It's coming out in only a few weeks. I want you to go to Amazon.com. Well, only if you want to hear Michael's beautiful family stories and see pictures you've never seen before of yours truly. All this and more right here on The Savage Nation. Wait, hang on before I go. You know, I hate seeing my electric meter spinning around like some crazed hamster wheel. Running the AC is like watching dollar bills fly out of poorly insulated windows. It costs thousands to replace windows, but for a fraction of the cost, you can put gorgeous energy-saving solar shades over your windows from Blinds.com. Blinds.com saves my listeners and me in so many ways. They offer a huge selection of designer blinds, shades, shutters, and drapes at prices lower than Lowe's and Home Depot. By posting free online how-to videos that make transforming any room in about 20 minutes very easy and by yourself. Listen, by making measuring so utterly goof-proof that even if you mismeasure, which is next to impossible, they'll remake it for free. Get free color samples, free shipping, no sales tax in most states, plus expert installers if you need one. Save an extra 20% on top brands through July 31st at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, where prices absolutely crush home improvement stores. Don't be blind. Go to Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Did you get it? Blinds.com. I'll be right back.
Savage. Network. Remember.
Oh, my God. Look behind us. Please pan in this way, please. This is it. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Freedom and fear, justice and cruelty have always been at war. And we know that God is not neutral between them.
Whatever the dangers of the action we take, the dangers of inaction are far, far greater.
Half hour later, we see the second one banging.
Something else just hit. A very large plane just flew directly over my building, and there's been another collision.
They hate our freedoms, our freedom of religion, our freedom of speech.
Listen, we got a female officer down. We need a search.
How can they possibly justify using naked force to crush a people who ask for nothing more than the right to lead their own lives in freedom and dignity?
There's no words to describe what's going on out there. I mean, you see bodies just coming a half hour later, still coming out of the damn sky.
Because the greatest rebuke we can offer to those who attack our way of life is to demonstrate clearly we are not cowed in any way whatsoever.
Where was your last location? Where was your last location? Talk to us.
These terrorists kill not merely to end lives, but to disrupt and end a way of life.
Yeah. Come on. Tell me, what floor are you on? You got a female officer down, possibly on the third floor on the second tower.
Brute force may intimidate, but it cannot form the basis of an enduring society.
In all that lies before us, may God grant us wisdom, and may he watch over the United States of America.
Wow, what a tragic day for America. All right, play the clip.
Fellow Democrats, good evening. 36 years ago,
we're now looking at a tape of the worst president in American history until Obama came along.
America needed a president.
The Jew-hating Jimmy Carter. Let's listen.
It takes the strength and wisdom from you, the American people. Ladies and gentlemen, both now and for the next 4 years, we have just such a leader in the White House.
You're coming from him, that's quite a compliment. Let's turn it off. I can only take so much of this. I can't even be sarcastic to a man like him. Let me give you a fact of reality here. Let's talk at this point about the alienation factor that I am witnessing in front of my eyes. One angry woman, clown called Jimmy Carter, who was allegedly the worst president in American history until Obama was foisted upon us. Let's focus on one issue alone that Jimmy Carter is remembered for, which is his attacks upon Jews in Israel. And how does that affect the flow of money and the Jewish community's vote, which has generally been very favorable towards the Democrats? The fact is, donations from Jewish people are way down. And the fact of the matter is that Jimmy Carter had such hostility towards Israel and the Jews that even Ronald Reagan received somewhere between 39 and 45% of the Jewish vote in 1980. That's pretty astounding. Given the party affiliation of most Jews in the United States of America, which is a sad commentary. And for them to bring out the least popular president in American history and parade him as though he's going to somehow bring in the independent shows me that either Valerie Jarrett does not know a damn thing about running the government, or that Barack Obama is so out to lunch that he doesn't know the first thing about running a government, or that Michelle Obama is so disconnected from reality that she doesn't know the first thing about running a government or a party. But I will tell you this. None of them know how to run a convention. Because if the object of this convention was to appeal to the independent, especially the white person who was hoodwinked into voting for this fraudster, then they have failed miserably. Thank you, and may God bless America. 1-800-449-8255. This is Michael Savage. Let's take our first caller in this segment. Melissa in Mississippi, go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I wanted you to really speak to an angry woman. You're not separating between conservative angry women and liberal angry women, and I wanted you to speak to an angry conservative woman.
I'd like to know why there were no angry conservative women at the Republican convention. They were all these milquetoast Prozac women. They all looked like they were on medication. They look like they've just come from a Mary Poppins Broadway show.
I agree. I think a little passion would go a long way in the conservative parts of America.
Well, there's a difference between passion and anger. In other words, passion's only one emotion. Anger is only one emotion that you can apply to passion. You can be passionately happy, passionately angry, passionately humorous. I mean, there's many different ways to be passionate. The Republicans showed very little passion for anything. But these people are showing a passion of anger. They seem to be walking around with a pathological anger towards this country.
Well, I'm angry that I'm being told that there's something wrong with me because I'm conservative and a woman. And that I'm being told that, no, his foreign policy is great. And, no, he knows what he's doing. Don't worry. No.
Well, let's analyze his foreign policy. Let's analyze the anointed one's foreign policy. Can you name one foreign policy success?
No, I can't. And that's why I'm angry. Because
it's all a myth. There is no foreign policy. Our worst enemies have been praised, but our allies have been stiffed. He treats radical Islamists in the Middle East like friends, then stiffs Israel and Western European allies. Let's look at his policy towards the military. While Obama makes a show of using proud Navy SEALs as a publicity stunt, the overall strength of the military has been decimated. As a matter of fact, we now have the smallest Navy since World War I. The man is a disaster. Let's look at space. He destroyed NASA from putting a man on the moon to destroying the vehicle that did so. The man has decimated this country. He's taking it apart brick by brick. That is why I would never, ever recommend you voting for a Democrat for the rest of your life.
Savage.
Once again, we see terrorism. We see terrorists. They can destroy buildings. They can kill people. And we will be saddened by this tragedy, but they will never be allowed to kill the spirit of democracy. They cannot destroy our society. They cannot destroy our belief in the democratic way.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people...
We are grateful to the many nations who are standing with us tonight. Together we will defeat this most insidious of threats. We will be fierce in the defense of our ideals.
Our way of life is a great deal stronger and will last a great deal longer than the actions of fanatics small in number and now facing a unified world against them. People should have confidence. This is a battle with only one outcome, our victory, not theirs.
You can be sure that as terrible a day as this is for us, we will get through it because we are a strong nation, a nation that believes in itself.
Freedom and fear are at war. The advance of human freedom, the great achievement of our time, and the great hope of every time, now depends on us. Our nation, this generation, will lift a dark threat of violence from our people and our future.
Hardship and heartbreak are not new to us. We Americans have endured great challenge and struggle, yet none has ever broken us. Our greatness in times of trouble is what distinguishes us as a nation.
Let us choose to oppose any action which gives comfort or rest to those that help to precipitate this great tragedy. We honor the fallen with unity and the support of action, which brings justice.
TRN, remember.
1-800-449-8255, Albany, New York. Todd, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, you're sitting there talking about Jimmy Carter, and it brought back some old recollections. I mean, one could make a really strong case he's the father of Islamic terrorism.
Yes, he is. I have made that point. I have had Iranian men say to me, you're the only one in the media who knows. It was Jimmy Carter who brought back Khomeini from exile in London and therefore started the virus of Islamism across the globe. Isn't that what you're referring to?
Absolutely true. Now, there's a couple of other things you may not remember. Who was it that decimated the CIA, the covert ranks of the CIA? It was Jimmy Carter.
Jimmy Carter. Well, wait. He started it, but didn't Gerald Ford continue it with his liberal policies, even though he's a so-called R?
It was too late. It was too late. They lost 85% of their most competent section heads under Carter. They just walked. Carter, remember, instituted the rule that said we could no longer do business with people of questionable moral authority.
Yeah, but the CIA today is what? Who are they spying on? American citizens who might be a threat to the government?
Yeah, right. I mean, here, the point being that Jimmy Carter is, you know, you could make that argument. That's a very strong argument. I've heard you made it. But what you can't forget is that the reason that that happened was his incompetence. Now we have a second incompetent president, and he's destabilized Egypt. He's destabilized Libya. He's destabilized.
Thank you for bringing up the pregnant bear in the room. I'm not going to use the 400-pound gorilla. It's been overused. The pregnant bear in the room is that Obama's Middle East policy, which was under the design of George Soros' money, which was given to Brzezinski and Carter, has brought about the greatest unmitigated disaster in American history in terms of foreign policy. There is no Arab Spring. It's an Arab winter, a term that I phrased. Egypt, once our great ally, is now our enemy. And yet they're giving one more $1 billion to the Islamists in Egypt. What sense does that make unless Obama actually wants the Islamists to win?
It makes no sense. I mean, ask
Do you think that Obama's playing for the other team? I have to ask that question. Is he that incompetent, or is he playing for the opposition team?
Draw a rational conclusion other than that. Ask yourself, where would the Islamic movement be without the billions, the hundreds of billions of dollars that the Iranians have pumped into it since Jimmy Carter? Where would it be now without
the I think people need to remember. See, but now, look, you're a man who knows history, and you're in a very small minority of American voters. Most don't even know that the Middle East has been destroyed and decimated of our friends, and our enemies have now taken a front and center stage. And that's all under Barack Obama. And the reason most Americans don't even know that little is because the media is in Obama's pocket.
I agree. One last point. Nobody's talking about an M2. Nobody's talking about the money supply and the devaluation of the dollar to the tune of 20 to 25%. They call it quantitative easing. You know, if you're really concerned about the middle class and the poor, do you walk out and devalue their purchasing power by that amount of money?
Well, I agree with you, and I'm going to send you a book that documents it called Trickle Down Tyranny. In fact, this is a very important fact that should not be boring to anybody, but it's right on page 2. Very important for those of you who are into economics, if nothing else. Let's say you're a social liberal, but a fiscal conservative. I'm going to read one paragraph, and then you'll see what a genius I am and why you have to buy the book. Okay? Obama's economic policies have caused such an enormous rise in the price of the necessities of life that his administration has removed energy and food prices from its financial analysis in order to avoid telling the American people just how bad inflation is. Did you know any? Does anyone really know that? Do you know that the gross domestic product of the United States is around $15 trillion? Did you know that? Okay, what does that mean? Well, think about it. If the debt tops $16 trillion, it means that our debt now exceeds our GDP. It means that we've gone upside down under Barack, socialist, Hussein, Obama. That's what I'm saying to you. Looking back on Romney's speech last week, as tepid as he is as a candidate, and he's still a tepid candidate in my estimation, he's not conservative enough for me, nor is he passionate enough for me, but he's still the best we're going to get right now given the terrible situation of the political structure and the ownership of the media by so few in the hands of so many Democrats. Romney said something that really impressed me, which is that when he was governor of Massachusetts, he took a huge deficit and turned it into a balance sheet that was positive. I was very encouraged when I heard even that. We have yet another Kennedy who is not yet enmeshed in scandal. Let's listen to him. His name is Joseph Kennedy.
Bring peace to Northern Ireland and health care to all.
What? Wait a minute. Northern Ireland? Did he just take us backwards 20 years to the Troubles?
And it guides us in a tough campaign.
Did I miss something? Kennedy talks about Northern Ireland?
Defend a woman's right to
has to be really high on the agenda of the average American voter.
protect our seniors' retirement security. There's
another nut with a color.
And marvel that the grit and grace of a young senator who embodied
Uncle
the
Teddy.
Change our country.
He's the most despised
needs.
American senator in American history. What do you mean, Uncle Teddy?
Remember Senator Kennedy. We recommit ourselves to the leader he entrusted.
Are they crazy? I think somebody's on drugs and it's not me.
Very much.
Uncle Teddy. That's like calling Uncle Joseph Stalin. I have never heard anything like this. Again, bringing up the most despicable, corrupt, drunk in American Senate history, modern American Senate history. I can't talk about the 1800s. They're probably worse than Kennedy at that time. And if you go back even farther than that, the man drowned Mary Jo Kopechne. The man was mired in scandal after scandal. And they're holding Edward Kennedy up as a hero? Is there a Democrat alive today who thinks this man was heroic? Is there anyone listening to this show who would dare call me and tell me that Ted Kennedy was a great senator? No, nobody will do that. There must be some lunatic in New York, some child of the International Ladies Garment Workers Union, some relative of Woody Allen from Brooklyn somewhere who would try that. No, but they won't call the show. Yeah, he was a great president if you look at it from a different perspective. You need the right prism in order to see what Kennedy really was.
This is the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Savage.
Today, our fellow citizens, our way of life, our very freedom came under attack in a series of deliberate and deadly terrorist acts.
Looks like 6-7 floors are taken out. And there's more
right now. Hold on just a moment. We got an explosion inside.
The building's exploding right now. You got people running up the street.
Okay.
The victims were in airplanes, were in their offices. Secretaries, businessmen and women, military and federal workers, moms and dads, friends and neighbors.
The tower's coming down!
That's a test ball. We got a second tower down.
Move away from the tower, Central! Everybody move away from the tower!
Thousands of lives were suddenly ended by evil, despicable acts of terror. These acts of mass murder were intended to frighten our nation into chaos and retreat. But they have failed. Our country is strong. A great people has been moved to defend a great nation.
We're going to just keep digging. We're going to keep trying to reach them. We're going to keep seeing if we hear noise, keep seeing if we can pull people out of there alive.
America was targeted for attack because we're the brightest beacon for freedom and opportunity in the world. And no one will keep that light from shining.
Another tower collapse.
None of us will ever forget this day. Yet we go forward to defend freedom and all that is good and just in our world.
I'm just thinking about the firemen I see going up the stairs behind me and looking at Happiness Wilson. I don't know.
God bless America.
TRN. Remember.
Let me go to the website. MichaelSavage.com and see what made it up to my site. I picked this for you because I knew you wouldn't be interested in politics. Judge approves taxpayer-funded sex change for inmate. Michelle, so-called Kosilek, is serving life in prison for murder. The man who dresses as a woman and wears lipstick has said she's... Remember who this is. A federal judge on Tuesday named Judge Mark Wolf ordered state prison officials to provide taxpayer-funded sex reassignment surgery to a transgender inmate serving life in prison for murder. Now, look, if you're a crazy man who wants to cut your schmeckle off, or if you're a crazy man who wants to cut your most essential part of your maleness off your body, in my opinion, you belong in a mental hospital. But according to the American Medical Association, you're more normal than a SEAL war hero. Either they're crazy or something doesn't make sense to me. And if you look at the audience at the DNC, it's one crackpot, splinter group, angry person after another. In addition to being physically unattractive and unappealing in an age of an America obsessed with weight and health, The average weight of the average woman up there, I'm sorry to tell you, is at least 195 to 2 1/4. Now, I have nothing myself against overweight people. I'm not in particularly great shape myself, but I like to look at physically fit people. For a party that claims to be involved with health and healthy foods, especially under the First Lady, this looks more like they've been listening to the Lord of the Fries rather than the Lord of Organic Food. The phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. My newsletter came out, Thank God Eastwood Rubio and Mitt Saved the Day. It's a shorty. I'll read it to you. It's on my website. After 2 days of generic eunuch talk, I was so encouraged when I watched the final night of the Republican National Convention, Michael Savage told listeners, adding, for the first time, I said, thank God. Clint Eastwood was unbelievable. He is such a consummate performer. He had the audience in the palm of his hand. It's amazing, of course, that the little men of the media are attacking him because he dared take on the anointed one, Barry Obama. Rubio and his stories about his father and grandfather moved me. Mitt showed tremendous skills in reaching out and touching people. I was saying on the air, Mitt, go to Louisiana, go to the flood. I also said, don't talk about your Mormonism. You don't have to do it. You remember there were rumors that Romney was going to basically apologize for his religion? Well, I just learned from someone very high up in the GOP that they heard me say this. They listened to me and they listened to you. They dropped the Mormon talk and they went right to the flood area. I know my listeners on the Savage Nation are very important to this election, and thank you very much for listening.
If this flood of outside money continues, the day after the election, 17 angry old white men will wake up and realize they just bought the country.
So here we have the poster boy for angry old white men, who is so out of touch with reality that he says angry old white men are going to buy the country or have... To the angry old white man himself, Harry, is about to speak now.
Barack Obama, a man who has brought courage and character to the presidency. President Obama...
You mean Solyndra? You mean killing 22 Navy SEALs as commander-in-chief aboard that Chinook helicopter? Is that bravery?
Some said he shouldn't save Detroit.
But excuse me, Harry, you're lying. General Motors needs another bailout right now. Nobody is buying the junk they're making.
In an important, iconic industry.
Liar, liar, pants on fire. He saved the SEIU is what he did.
Heaven and earth to get Bin Laden.
He saved the AFL-CIO.
President Obama made the tough and right call to bring the worst terrorists in the world.
SEALs say he didn't even make the decision, Harry. The Navy SEALs say he wasn't even involved. They brought him in like a child after the decision was made. In fact, remember the pictures, Harry. He looked stunned as he was sitting in the war room. They brought him in at the end of the decision, Harry.
Made the tough and right call. So taxpayers will never again be on the hook for Wall Street's risky bets.
Are you crazy? The debt is $17 trillion. It's gone up $4.6 trillion under Obama. 47 million people are on food stamps, Harry.
But President Obama made the tough and right call.
I can't listen to him anymore. I can't take it. This is the Savage Nation. There's only so much I can take from any Democrat, from any politician, as a matter of fact. I can't listen to this anymore. He's lying with virtually every line. I'll go to the callers, 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Let's start on the East Coast, New York City, WOR. Helen, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, what are you talking about that the president is such a socialist? I mean, his stimulus package was 40% tax cuts. He passed 100% deductibility of the capital investments by companies. Private sector jobs are up $4.5 million.
Wait. Hold it. Helen, I'm not the husband who left you a number of years ago because you wouldn't let him say a word.
5 years, Michael.
That's number one. Number two, it's my show, not yours. Number three, you don't know what the heck you're talking about. Do you have any idea what the debt is today?
Yes, I do. It's about $16 trillion.
And where did it come from?
Well, we're talking about the socialist part. I wanted to say that.
Right. Hold on. That's right. Contemporary European socialists believe that creating public sector jobs and taxing people who are productive is their way to go. That is socialism. Where poverty is rewarded, success is punished, that is socialism.
Michael, at the same time...
Food stamp use has climbed to 47 million people. Debt tops $16 trillion. That's $136,000 per household. That is socialism as it is practiced today. I'm not talking about Karl Marx-era socialism or Lenin's era of socialism. I'm talking about modern European socialism today, whether it's practiced in Greece or in Italy or in Spain, is what Obama is. His model is based upon.
But we've cut 700,000 government jobs at the same time that we added 4.5 million private jobs. The stock market.
Well, now you're making up a fact that's not true. You just invented that on the spot. Name the 700,000 jobs in which departments were cut.
Well, primarily they're from state agencies that, you know, don't have the luxury to print the money that the federal government does.
You just made it sound like Obama cut 700,000 jobs. Now when I called you on it, you said it was states that fired 700,000 people.
Yes, it is. There is no. It's primarily that, but you can't say that as a nation that we're moving in that direction. I mean, that's just not.
Wait, hold it. We're moving. What do you mean we're not moving towards socialism? We are a socialist nation right now. What would you call the government bailing out banks and bailing out General Motors? Would you not call that socialism?